I'm Dani Shapiro, and this is The Way We Live Now. Today is day 76, since we've become intimate with the dust bunnies in every corner of our houses, and day 30 of this podcast. So many young people head west to Hollywood to pursue their dreams. They take acting classes, get coaches. If they're lucky, they land a manager or agent who sends them out on auditions. They wait tables, park cars, tend bar, while hoping for their big break. For many, the pandemic pressed pause on all that. Some may have gone home for good, but others, like today's guest, Shai Vaughn, is using every minute of her quarantine to hone her gifts so she's ready for prime time as soon as restrictions lift. Shai, thank you for joining me to talk about The Way We Live Now.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Tell us where you are right now in as much detail as you can muster. Describe your surroundings, what you're seeing and hearing.
Right now, I am actually in my apartment in Los Angeles. I am self-quarantining, which is actually great for me because I'm not your typical person who like to run in the streets all the time anyway. I've always been like goal oriented. So I've always been like focusing on my goals. So I'm usually, if I'm not at work or auditioning for something or on set, I'm usually at home perfecting my craft. Mm. So for me, this is not out of the norm for me, but I'm just like right now there's like really light traffic, a nice hot day. Yeah, not too much going on outside because I think everyone's scared to go outside, but for me, I'm actually, even though I'm by myself, I'm actually okay with it because I'm actually using this time to get better, just be the best that I can be. So once the gates do reopen, I'm prepared and I'm Super Bowl ready for all the opportunities that are going to come about once this is all over.
Mm, that's good to hear. You're a comedian, is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
So tell me, I love the way your voice changed when I said that. That was funny. How do you work on your craft as a comedian when you're sheltering in place in isolation?
Okay, it's actually pretty interesting because I naturally, actually just before you called, I was dancing around my house like a ballerina. I don't have any formal ballet training, but I was for some reason just dancing around like a ballerina. But anyway, I do physical comedy, so for me, I'm always dancing around the house anyway. So I basically have just been reminiscing about my past. And what I do, how I create my stand-up is I use stories from my past, present, and past and present to create, I create scenarios based off that. But I basically do the setup verbal, and then I do a physical impersonation of it, and then I end it with the punchline. So for me, it's really good for me to be in the house working on this because I'm in private. No one can see me being silly until it's showtime. So I can kind of, I have a lot of free time and freedom to like really figure out what works and what isn't working. I've really noticed that a lot of people, you know, are not handling this really well based off what I'm seeing on social media. So instead of me using my, my talent to talk about that or discuss that and have a visual of that. So I just want to make people laugh just based off, you know, me being silly and like, you know, telling them this, you know, this happened that day or this guy did this and like show them that because I feel like people's spirits just need to be uplifted and their mind needs to be taken off what's going on right now. So that's how I'm shaping my material right now.
Describe your life pre-pandemic. You know, go back a few months ago. What would a typical, you know, stretch of a couple of days have looked like for you?
Oh my God, crazy. I was a server bartender over at the Avalon in Beverly Hills. It's a hotel restaurant. And when I wasn't working, I was auditioning or preparing for an audition or on stage doing stand-up, or I was at UCB, which is a the number one improv school in Los Angeles. I was doing private online coaching for like scene study, cold readings. So I never really had a moment to like catch my breath or do anything outside of acting or work because I just like didn't have the time to do anything other than that because my day was like filled with all those activities. And I never had time to do anything that needed to be done because I was like over occupied with my career.
Well, I think you're describing the life of, you know, a lot of people, young people who come to LA and, or New York or Chicago or Atlanta or any number of places where the entertainment business is happening and who are, you know, just between honing your craft and auditioning and networking and making a living, that's pretty much a life. That's pretty much a full-time life. So when did the pandemic hit home for you? When did it become real in the sense that, oh, wow, this is happening here. This is happening. This is going to have a real impact on my life.
I would say, I believe the date was March 17th. I believe it was Tuesday, March 17th. And it happened around, because I remember the time. I think it happened like 1:01 p.m. My job called from Avalon. My manager called. And she said, "Shy, you don't need to come to work today." And I was just thinking like, oh, I'm just having, because sometimes if the business is slow, they'll call you off, which doesn't happen too often. But I thought maybe the business was just slow because of the growing pandemic. But she was like, then she elaborated and said, "We've all been let go, including myself, and we will be sending you an email with details on how to apply for unemployment. And we don't know when we'll be reopening." And that's when it hit home because I support myself financially. I don't have any help. I actually help support my mom back home. She's in Chicago. So whenever I have any extra money, I help support my mom. So that really hit home for me because I was like, what am I going to do? I was like, my career was just starting to take off. I was auditioning like I never had before. I was getting into a lot of different casting offices that I had never gotten into. Everything was on the rise. Mm. And my whole world like shattered in that moment because it's like, what am I gonna do now? I can't go back home. I've worked too hard to pursue this career. I've been wanting to do this since I was 12 years old. I can't go back home. But in that moment, I couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I didn't know what I was gonna do.
So what happened next? How did you handle that? And what was the next steps that you took? And how did it feel?
This might sound strange to some people, but I've actually, in my opinion, I've been through worse episodes in my life than this. So after I did end that phone call and I kind of, you know, waddled in what was going on for a moment, I felt like a sense of calmness over me. Mm-hmm. And it was like God was telling me that he has me and everything was going to be okay. So I started looking at the bright side and I basically developed a winner's mindset. And I remember I heard an interview with Kobe Bryant and he basically said that when they asked him how did he become the greatest basketball player of all time, he said, "Well, I knew the other player's schedule and I know they only practice like 2 hours a day." So he said, "I knew if I got up earlier and started my day earlier, I could get more practice in. So instead of doing 2 hours a day, I would do 8 hours a day." So no matter how much training they did in the summer, they were never going to be able to catch up with me. So then I started getting up earlier in the day, literally from the time I get up to the time I go to sleep. Everything is focused on acting. Like I said, every now and then I'm going to dance around my house like a ballerina, even though I have no clue what I'm doing. So I would never want people to see that. But for me, I'm basically putting myself in the position to be able to win. You have to be prepared for opportunities when they come. And it doesn't come from luck. It comes from preparation because someone else might be smarter than me, sexier than me, more talented than me. But hard work is always going to outdo talent.
Well, what's amazing, too, as I'm listening to you, is that you know, when people work for themselves, whether as creatives or entrepreneurs or, you know, just people who have to make our own schedules, there's so much discipline involved. You don't have a boss right now. You're your boss.
Mm-hmm.
So are you performing online at all? I know a lot of people are during this time, you know, musicians and actors and comedians are doing different kinds of performances, wondering if that's something that you are doing or that you are watching at all, because it seems like there's been a lot of blossoming of that kind of, like, still got to put myself out there.
Yeah, I actually, when I do go on social media, I don't go to browse. What I do is I know which casting directors and which directors are doing stuff right now that are having open calls. So I'm constantly checking their pages to look for the next open call. And I actually recently got cast in the Virtual Fringe Cabaret Festival. It actually just happened May 8th, 2020. And I submitted a stand-up performance from home. It was a virtual stand-up performance. And they loved it. And literally, I felt like it was Oscar night. And I'm wondering how the Oscars are going to be when I get there, because literally everybody and their mama was hitting me up, telling me how funny I was, how much they enjoyed it. And it really made me feel special, because I'm like, okay, even in a global pandemic, I'm able to make people laugh. And that was my goal. I will not lie, I was kind of not motivated when my agent sent me that opportunity, because I was kind of down in that moment when she sent me the opportunity. And I was like, there's so many people submitting for these things, I probably won't get it. I heard back right away. And that actually gave me motivation to take these open calls more seriously, because I'm like, wow, I might not win every challenge, but that doesn't mean that they won't ever cast you or ever want to work with you. So I think these opportunities are really beneficial right now, because I'm able to get called in by offices right now who wouldn't have probably ever looked at me or ever called me in, because I'm more of a developmental actor. A lot of them have been doing Instagram lives and with casting directors, and they're giving us insight on what they expect in the room, their pet peeves. So this is really insightful information, because I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's what I have been doing wrong, or this is what I have been doing right. Keep doing this. Don't do that anymore. So I think coming out of this, I'm just going to be a force to be reckoned with.
That's so interesting. It's like there's a whole education going on right now that people wouldn't have had access to, the things that people wouldn't typically be sharing or making the time to, you know, to educate actors about. And that just sounds like a really positive thing. I'm curious, too, when you do one of these monologue challenges and are you taping yourself and then sending it in, or is there actually a live casting director sort of on a Zoom or like on the other end?
Okay. Most of them have been where you film it and then submit it. But the let's say you're in the top five or top however many, then they'll put you on their Instagram Live and they'll invite you into their Instagram Live and you perform your monologue right there on the spot. I in this moment haven't experienced that yet, because it's only been one casting director who has done that. The rest of them are self-submissions, and you just film your monologue and send it in, and a lot of them really aren't getting feedback. They're just basically putting together a favorites pile for when the thing reboot. But there's one casting director, Leah Daniels, who is having her top picks do their monologue live, so you're getting a lot of exposure that way. And what but I'm basically prepared, though, because she's been doing it every Monday. And if she has extra time, she'll invite randoms to come in and perform. And so I'm always camera ready, because I don't know when my opportunity is coming, but it's coming.
I love that. So my last question for you, Shai, is, and you know, in a way, our whole conversation is sort of emblematic of it, but what's bringing you hope these days? There's going to be a point where the world starts turning again, you know, and things resume, and you're preparing yourself for that moment. But on a day-to-day basis, what's giving you a sense of hope or solace?
What's been giving me a sense of hope is my mom, because I found out that I wanted to be an actor when I was 12 years old. And I believe she was the only one who actually believed I could do it. And even in the midst of this
pandemic, I've been told by friends and family, oh, just move back home. Basically telling me to give up. And she's the only person who's like, no, just stick with it. Stay there. Everything is going to work out. It keeps me hopeful because my ultimate goal is to take care of my mom. That's always been my main source of motivation and the reason why I've been so disciplined. What's been giving me hope and keeping me going is because I've never told my mom this, but I don't remember how old I was, but I was standing at the top of the stairs and she was on the phone talking to someone. And she had said that she had just fed, I'm the baby of five, that she had just fed all of her kids dinner, but there wasn't enough food left for her. So she didn't eat that day. And in that moment, and she still doesn't know to this day that I overheard that conversation. And what's been giving me hope is that I have time right now to prepare for when the opportunity comes for me to get my next break. Like, I'm basically, sorry, it's hard for me to speak because of the story I just said, but basically that's giving me hope because right now I have the time to be prepared for when my next opportunity comes. And then when I do get my breakthrough role, I can take care of my mom and she won't ever have to worry about, you know, where her next meal or how her bills are going to get paid. She won't have to worry anymore. So that's what's giving me hope and solace is knowing that I'm going to be able to take care of my mom.
Yeah, that's moving and beautiful. Thank you. Really is. You got me a little teary there.
Thank you.
So I really appreciate your taking the time to talk to me today and to talk to all of us. I think people will be very touched by your story, and I look forward to seeing you on stage at a comedy club.
Oh, thank you. Yay.
All right. Take care, Shai. Thank you so much for joining us.
You too. Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks for listening to The Way We Live Now. Tell us the way you're living now. We want to hear. Call us on, you might want to get a pen for this, 909-713-8995. That's 909-713-8995. And record your story, and we might just use it on the pod. Also, you can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/The Way We Live Now Pod. We are creating a community here, and we would love for you to join us. You can find me on Instagram at Danny Ryder. The Way We Live Now is a production of iHeartRadio. It's produced by Lowell Brulanti. Beth Ann Macaluso is executive producer. Special thanks to Tristan McNeil and Tyler Klang. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.